Now, more of Rough and Justice, the story of the 1976 New England Patriots on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mike Holovac led the Patriots to a 53-47-9 record over 8 seasons in their inaugural decade. But he was shown the door after a 4-10 campaign in 1968. The next 4 years were no better. Cleve Rush, John Mazur, and Phil Bankston combined to go 15-41 from 1969 through 1972. After the 72 campaign, owner Billy Sullivan reached down to the college ranks for a replacement, Oklahoma's Chuck Fairbanks. Patriot Ledger's Ron Hobson.
Well, Fairbanks was just one step ahead of the posse. They had some problems at Oklahoma, and he realized he was going to catch up with the NCAA problems. So he left, and this opportunity rose. The Patriots, Fairbanks organized the team. He did things that we had never seen before, even things in training camp where he'd have a popsicle break in the hot, steamy training camp. It changed the whole atmosphere around the team. It looks like they knew what they were doing.
When Fairbanks got to the Patriots, it was early in the Patriots being a member of the NFL, and he brought a real sense of legitimacy to the team, to the franchise. Great college coach coming into pro football, and he really knew how to put a team together. He knew talent, was a really, really good talent evaluator. He was putting together the team that the 76 team became.
Gil Santos remembers Fairbanks had a great eye for talent.
Lights out drafting. I mean, he really, really knew players. I remember standing with him out at UMass Amherst during training camp. Might have been 76, maybe 75, whatever the year was that they drafted Sam Hunt. And he was a low-round pick. And I'm watching practice, and Chuck said, "What do you think about number 50? I said, "Boy, there's something about him that I like." We had that one, you know, kind of would close one eye when he was talking to you, you know. And he gave him that one-eyed look, and he said, "That guy's a football player." And he was.
Fairbanks didn't do it all himself, as Patrick Sullivan recalls.
It's important to point out that, you know, one of the guys, the only guy that Chuck retained off the previous administration, which was John Mazur and Upton Bell, was Bucko Kilroy. And Bucko was very highly regarded as a personnel guy. And Chuck relied on him a lot. And, you know, sitting in the rooms when these guys were drafted, the guy that was really pushing these particular names was Bucko Kilroy. It just so happened that Chuck Fairbanks was a coach who could actually take advantage of the talents that these guys had. But I don't think that Chuck Fairbanks, if Chuck were alive today, I don't think that he would say, I was responsible for drafting all those guys. I think what he would say is, we had a great team of personnel guys that helped us. And, of course, Chuck made the final decision, which he did, and put together some great, great football players.
Not only did Chuck Fairbanks draft great players, he brought in great assistant coaches. Red Miller became a head coach. Ray Perkins became a head coach. Ron Earhart became a head coach. That's a heck of a staff. And so Chuck had the wherewithal to pick players and pick assistant coaches, and his strength, one of his strengths, was the fact that he did not fear any of the assistant coaches usurping his position. And there's a lot of coaches that feel that way. You know, Bill Belichick does not. But there are other coaches around the league who would not hire certain assistants because they're leery that this guy might chop him in half and take over. But Chuck not only had the ability to pick players, but pick coaches.
Fairbanks probably had the best eye for talent I've ever seen, not only playing talent, but coaching talent. He had great coaches also.
That's John Hanna, the future Hall of Famer, was the first pick in Fairbanks' first draft. The number 4 overall pick from Alabama was a no-brainer. But Fairbanks showed he could also find a diamond in the rough with his 14th round pick that year, an undersized but feisty nose guard he knew well, Raymond Hamilton.
I was happy. You know, it was a different situation for me because I was at the University of Oklahoma, and we as players were kind of sitting around joking after the season that Chuck had left. We were sitting around joking and wondering who Chuck was going to draft. But that was really my first thinking about coming to New England, and he ended up drafting me.
I had played against his Oklahoma team my sophomore year in the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl game. You know, I knew he was a good coach, and I knew what he had done at Oklahoma, and I knew that, you know, he was a pretty offensive-minded coach, so I was pretty excited about meeting him and getting to know him. And when I met him, I wasn't disappointed, that's for sure.
Along with Hannah at Hamilton, the Pats selected running back Sam Cunningham from USC and receiver Daryl Stingley out of Purdue, making the 1973 draft one of the best in franchise history.
Those two guys you mentioned, those first-round draft picks, Cunningham, Stingley, and John Hannah, they were all first-round draft picks. I was a 14th-round draft pick. I wasn't, you know, probably wasn't expected to make the team until I just came in and played well. But as it panned out, with all of us making the team and all of us contributing for all those years, it did turn out to be a very, very good draft.
Yeah, that was a good draft. There were a lot of good drafts, but, you know, basically, you know, you had, you just named those three, but then the next year he got Steve Nelson on defense, and following year he got Grogan and Russ Francis. You know, every year he just kept adding and adding great players.
The only time I really got to know or have any interest in the Patriots was the 73 draft when they drafted John Hannah and Sam Cunningham and Daryl Stingley. And, you know, I, as a college player, you know those names. And just to myself, I said, boy, they got something going now with those three players.
That's another Fairbanks find. The Pats' second pick in the second round in 1974 would become another cornerstone of the future, North Dakota State linebacker Steve Nelson.
Well, I was very happy. First of all, I hurt my shoulder my senior year, so I thought my position may have fallen. I was very thankful because Coach Earhart, my college coach, was a member of Coach Fairbanks' staff. He was the offensive running back coach. So I knew someone that could kind of guide me along the whole process, because at that time North Dakota State was, you know, we were a Division II school. There was no 1AA. And although we had a great school and great coaching, you know, it wasn't, I just didn't have a lot of confidence, you know, playing against, you know, guys from the, you know, the SEC or Big Ten or Big Eight or whatever. So having a coach on that staff really helped me.
Nelson would learn some valuable lessons from his new coach, and they weren't all about football.
Coach Fairbanks, one thing he told me was, if you ever start a business or if you ever decide to coach, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. And that told me, first of all, he wants to get the best people to work with. And also he had, he wasn't afraid at all of having people around him that knew more than he did. He was very, content with himself, and he knew talent. He could, and I think even Bill Parcells, you know, brought him, you know, later, and when Coach Fairbanks had retired, he brought him to Dallas just to kind of look at practices and evaluate the personnel, because he knew what a great talent evaluator Coach Fairbanks was.
The 74 draft also netted running back Eddie Johnson and linebacker Sam Hunt. In 75, he did it again, going way off the board for his first-round pick, tight end Russ Francis.
Oh, yeah, I had a tremendous amount of knowledge about New England and the team and everything else, so much so that when I spoke with Chuck Fairbanks on draft day, he told me that while we were initially going to hold training camp in Western Massachusetts, University of Mass, that they would be switching it in a year or two to a much better facility in Rhode Island, Smithfield, Rhode Island. I thought Rhode Island was an island. That's how much I knew.
Francis was a physical marvel, but was available to Fairbanks at the number 16 spot because he hadn't played football his senior year at Oregon.
I thought I was going to be playing baseball. That was my goal, was to try and make it into Major League Baseball. I got drafted by the Kansas City Royals before the Patriots drafted me. I thought, well, that's great. I'm going to spring training camp. And then Chuck Fairbanks called up when they used to have the draft in January and offered me a chance to make that team. So they offered a bigger signing bonus, and I needed to pay off some flight lessons and a little airplane that I'd acquired in college. So that was the main reason that I came to the team.
When Chuck drafted him, and he came out and told us, I mean, it was just a gaggle of reporters, you know, me, Ronnie Hobson, Carlo Emilio, at the Patriots, the stadium on draft day. And he came out, Chuck, and he said, well, you know, we just drafted this guy, Russ Francis. He didn't play last year. We're thinking, why would you draft a guy that didn't play last year? And we knew nothing about him. Played at Oregon. Who in New England paid any attention to Oregon football? And then when we saw him play, it was like, oh my goodness, this guy can be as good as he wants to be. He can be the best ever. And at that point, you're talking about John Mackey being the best ever tight end. Russ Francis had the ability to be better than any of them.
I liked Coach Fairbanks because he was direct. He said exactly what he meant, and he expected the best from you, and it was pretty clear, even as a guy that didn't know anything about the game of football, that he had assembled a phenomenal group of coaches. There was never any question or any hesitance on their part. You know, the Charlie Sumners of the world, the Red Nose of the world, the Ray Perkins. And there was no hesitation in his game plan and his presentation. I mean, he was probably as good at administrative football as I've seen. And that also then included Bill Walsh later on.
But Francis would need someone to throw him the ball. No team in the NFL has success without a good quarterback. Fairbanks inherited a Heisman Trophy winner in Jim Plunkett, but 4 years of battering at the hands of opposing defenses had taken the shine away. The man who'd eventually lead the 1976 team to the playoffs was a fifth-round pick in 1975, Kansas State quarterback Steve Grogan.
Chuck was a very commanding guy. He delegated a lot. He had some great assistant coaches, but you knew he had his finger on the tab of everything. And I guess the way he helped me the most was he wasn't afraid to let me run. He had come from Oklahoma where they ran an option wishbone offense, and his quarterbacks had always been runners, and that was a strength of mine. So when I started playing a little bit, he didn't shut me down. He didn't tell me not to get out of the pocket and do the things I was doing.
Finally, after a disastrous 3-11 campaign in 1975, Fairbanks hit the lottery again in the 1976 draft. He traded Plunkett to the San Francisco 49ers for a pair of first-round picks, then selected three more vital cogs in that season's machine: center Pete Brock of Colorado, safety Tim Fox from Ohio State, and the number 5 pick overall, another future Hall of Famer, Arizona State cornerback Mike Haynes.
Because they had only won 3 games, I didn't think they were going to be a very good team. But once we started practicing, I thought, man, if this is a 3-11 team, it's like, oh my gosh, what's a 11-3 team like? You know, because they were so loaded with talent. And the guys, the players that we talk with, you know, when I say we, it's like Tim Fox and Pete Brock and myself, when we would talk to guys, we would learn that really it was circumstances. They had injuries, they had other issues. They said they were much better than a 3-11 team, and you could see that.
Oh, they were huge. You know, Tim and Mike both started as rookies, impactful players. Mike was the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Pete Brock was a guy who played center, but he also back up at guard and tackle, played tight end in short yard situations. He was a very versatile player, great player. Our offensive line was really probably the strength of that football team. And, Pete just gave it more, versatility and depth. And those three guys really added a lot to that 76 team.
Nelson saw the 1976 additions as the missing pieces to the puzzle. But were they enough to turn a 3-11 team into a contender? Pat Sullivan thought so.
Well, I did, because I saw these guys coming in, and, we knew that the people that we drafted were good players. So it was, it was just a matter of time that Chuck, not only was he was manipulating the team in a direction that he wanted to go at, but he's also adding to his coaching staff at the same time. And, getting those coaches to mesh with each other and to mesh with the players that they had. And he assembled a great coaching staff to go along with these great, great players. So I wasn't totally shocked, but there were some great surprises along the way.
Coming up, more of Rough and Justice, the story of the 1976 New England Patriots on 98.5, The Sports Hub.